Hello, everyone, and welcome to Hit and Hustle from irishsportsdaily.com. I'm your host, Grateful Among. That is Jamie Uwayama, professor at Jamie University. It is Tuesday, March 5th, and spring ball is right around the corner, Jamie. Right around the corner. It kicks off on Thursday. It really snuck up on me personally. I knew it started in March, but last week I was like, yeah, it's around the corner. It's like, yeah, it's next week. So that's going to be coming to you on Thursday. We're going to have a live show on Thursday as normal. We're scheduled to have Christian McCollum on the show. He's going to be in South Bend, so he's going to talk to us. Opening practice is going to be the first practice is going to be open to the media. So he's going to be there. And so he's going to come on the show and talk about a little bit of what he's seen there after he gets all of his stuff written up for the website. So what time our show is going to be on Thursday is a little bit, we're not sure yet. So hang with us. We'll let you know when the show is going to be. That's going to be a really good show. It's going to be a fun show to kick off the spring. So you're going to want to catch us there. So we've got a fun show. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk a little bit about Combine, spring storylines, and whatever else comes up. We've got the Shark in here, not very happy with Michigan fans. Michigan fans talking about Blake Corum benching as much as Joe Alt. I think it matters. Arm length matters in these things, Jamie. Joe Alt has very long arms. Blake Corum has very short arms, so it's a lot easier.
Blake Corum's like 5'3".
It's a lot easier to get up a bunch of bench presses when you don't have to push the bar up as far. So, but that's what that is. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If this is your first time catching us, please subscribe to this channel. Please hit the like button. Please hit the notification bell so you know whatever it is. We are going live. Links to the podcast are in the description below if you prefer the audio format. Before we get going, we do want to thank one of our sponsors, which is ESQ Clothing, founded by Notre Dame alum Ga Wang. You've seen ESQ and all your favorite Notre Dame players and coaches with over a decade of making the best custom clothing available. ESQ will help you look and feel your best in 2024. From a perfect fitting suit or sport coat, shirt, or bomber jacket, or that perfect tuxedo for wedding season, check out Ga's amazing work at esqclothing.com and book an appointment to upgrade your wardrobe today. Mention ISD and get 10% off your entire purchase. Jamie, you and Mike on Power Hour talked a little bit about the Combine yesterday. Saw some great performances from Joe Alt. He's pretty much solidified himself as the first offensive tackle that is going to come off the board. Cam Hart had a good Combine. I think everyone kind of understands that's going to come where he gets drafted is going to come down to his shoulder and how the medicals check out on that. Audric Estime. Audric Estime, good vertical, good broad jump, good bench, good singing at the interview. Bad 40. What did you make of that, Jamie? What do you make of Estime running a 4.7 in the 40-yard dash?
I mean, I don't think – I wasn't expecting him to run a blazing 40. I know he took one, whatever, 90 to the house or whatever it was last year. I can't remember again. It's NC State. But he's never been a guy who's been a blazer. So I didn't expect him to run. Like, think about, like, Dexter Williams ran like 4.57.
4.57.
And he was a guy who ran away from people, right? So it's just, even though there are, you know, there were more backs that were, like, blazing in this combine, it's usually not – guys aren't blazing all the time there. Like, it's not there usually aren't a bunch of burners there, and it doesn't really matter as much. And you've seen Estime run away from people, right? So I don't think it's gonna kill him. It's not great though. Like, you know, you don't want to run a low 4.7. That's not ideal. But I mean, I think all in all, his combine, it wasn't like that didn't ruin his combine.
Yeah.
You know, that didn't ruin his combine. And I would say the thing that probably hurts him more, which kind of fits with what kind of he is like, I don't think he had like a good, he had like a not a great three cone, which is like, you know, kind of like the change of direction type of test. And like, that's kind of what he is too. He's not like a guy. I think he's a guy who's going to fit in a certain offense and be good in that offense and be good in that role. But he's also not going to be a guy who, it kind of just makes sense to like, he's not going to, I never thought he was going to be a day two pick just because I just, he was never going to fit in terms of like, man, this guy plays every down and he's not Derrick Henry, you know, like Derrick Henry is a different level and is a different level of big back. And I think that's who obviously, and he weighed in less and didn't, you know, didn't run the four, which that part was surprising to me.
Yeah. I mean, I think that he's not a sprinter. And other, and I put this on I guess on one of the chats that we're in, like he's a windmill runner with his feet. And so it, like in the back, they're kind of doing this. It's not what you want in terms of like running a good time on anything. You want, you know, that's not what Xavier Worthy's doing. For Xavier Worthy, everything's going straight line, right? Like everything is moving in one direction. Audric Estime is all over the place. And that, look, it hurts you when you're trying to run like a fast time, right? Do you know what Jerome Bettis' 40 time is?
I don't know, actually. I'm going to guess it wasn't great, though.
It's 4.70.
Yeah. I mean, he was quite a bit bigger than...
For sure.
That's the one thing,
like,
too.
Similar type players, though.
Similar type players, but when always people used to say, like, oh, man, he's the bust. I was like, do you remember how big Jerome Bettis was? He was pretty friggin' huge. Like, it was just – he was a different type. And I would say, too, like, estimate for how big he is and how strong he is and how he can run people over. It's definitely something he can do. But that was, like, Bettis' game was, like, running guys over. And yeah. Estime has like a little bit better, like, you know, I mean, he's hurdled guys, like he's,
yeah,
you know, make little small cuts here and there to just kind of I think his game is balance after contact. That's where he's really good.
Yeah, I mean, and like different eras too, right? Like Bettis was a clear, you know, like I formation guy, like, you know, he was a fullback, right? So it's just different. I'm just saying, like, it's. And another part too is like Kyren Williams had like one of the worst combines you could have, like really just 3.52 RAS score out of 10, which is like as bad as you can get, like truly. And he's a second team all pro, right? Like most yards rushing in a per game in the NFL, right? Like this stuff is not, it's not definitive at all, especially that position. It probably will affect his draft stock. I think it's funny how like people, especially online, and it's just someone does poorly in the combine or whatever. It's like people have to like defend it. It's like you don't have to. Like he'll get drafted. He'll make a team, and if
he's gonna be in the league,
you gotta go. He's gonna play fine. He's a good football player. He's a good running back. He'll be fine in the NFL. The other thing you guys talked a little bit about was kind of the opt outs. You know, Caleb Williams not doing the thing. He's not doing the medicals.
That's weird.
A bunch of guys like Marvin Harrison didn't do a bunch of interviews, I think it was. And for me, like, I think it's funny when these guys, like, I was listening to Dane Brugler on a podcast yesterday, and he was talking about how, like, oh, guys didn't come out and they didn't compete. You know, they're not competing. And it tickles me because like everyone is fine with these guys sitting out actual games, right?
Yeah, but then like, the combine, yeah.
But then
yeah,
the combine, it's like, well, why aren't you out here running the combine? It's like, I don't get it. Like, it's like, well, they're not playing games. Like, this isn't actually competing.
Yeah.
This is going out there and putting on a show for them so they can produce something on the NFL Network and they can have like a good podcast of good podcast content. That's what that's for. But it's like, if we're okay with them sitting out actual games where you are competing, then, you know, this is the next natural progression. Guys are going to be like, why do I need to do this? I don't need to do this. Why do I need to?
Yeah. One thing though, and you kind of brought it up. I saw you you tweeted this too. It was like, and I mentioned it like on the podcast, was that like he could just put on a show. Everyone would enjoy it. You know, like he's going to look great. Like Caleb Williams is going to look great throwing the football. Like it's just, and if he doesn't want to do some of the other stuff, okay, fine. He doesn't have to, we don't need to see him run a 40 to know he's a really good athlete who can escape the rush.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need that, right? He doesn't need to run 40. Quarterbacks, most quarterbacks don't even need to run the 40. Which most quarterbacks
didn't. They didn't, yeah.
It's true, because they don't. And it's just for offensive linemen, too. I'm like, most guys don't need to. Like, it just – they can or they can, if it's totally up to them or whatever. Right? Yeah. Like, I don't know. I just – the one thing, just the medical part is weird. But it's like, oh, he will do it for the teams that, you know, that he's going to go visit for. But I just also think that, like – the NFL is different than the NBA, where, you know, this happens in the NBA actually a lot, where guys are like, I'm only working out for the team that has the number one pick. Like that, that happens. Or the top three picks or whatever, right? Like the top three teams or something. That's what happens a lot. But the NFL, there's more trading up into like the top picks to get quarterbacks. So like, you don't want to do interviews, but it's like, well, this team might want to trade up to get you.
Yeah.
So it's just like, especially too, when Williams, for a guy who's like, I guess he wants to, it's, you know, kind of like what I said with the Eric Lindros thing. It's like,
he's basically eliminating a team. Like, I don't want you to come trade up for me. I'm not going to go talk to you. Right. Like, he can do that. And look, these guys, they want control, right? And so it's, to me, it's whatever, like you said, and I put on Twitter too, like Caleb Williams pre-USC in 2022, his workout, and this was not like, this was way pre-game, like way pre-game. His warm-up was incredible. It was amazing. And it's like, you don't want to do that? You don't want to just, you just don't want to wow people with how good, fine, like whatever. I can't imagine he would do poorly in a situation where he's in shorts and a shirt and just chucking the ball and moving around and stuff. But whatever. Do whatever you want. It is what it is to me. So I think Blake Fisher, I think maybe the testing wasn't great, but I think a lot of teams are intrigued by him. And I think Matt reported that as well. Like, teams are intrigued by him. Look, you're right tackle for Notre Dame. You got a bunch of career starts. People are going to look at you. So that's interesting to see. Someone put out JD Bertrand didn't run the 40. That hurts my feelings. I wanted to see how fast he ran. I think he would have been faster than Maris. Maris ran a lot faster than I thought he would. We talked about it after the show last week. So good job by Maris. Very long athlete. Gave himself a chance there with his length and how fast he ran. So
yeah, Bertrand was wearing a boot. So I don't know what he was dealing with. I'm sure he'll run at the pro day.
Yeah, and Bernie Cordero. NC State linebacker Peyton Wilson, he ran a 4.43. So I think we said at the time, like, hey, that guy can fly, and he really can.
That
so.
Clip is gonna live on for the whole time through the draft process.
Yeah,
it's pretty sick. Like, it's actually one of like the best clips you'll ever see of a guy running someone down.
Yeah, he was flying.
Tobias, so. Not slow.
Not slow. Exactly. That guy was, he was moving, as we said at the time. So, all right, Jamie, spring ball kicking off. Matt had a little bit of intel on that on the Irish Sports Daily board. Everyone's going to want to check that out. Some pretty good stuff. Sounds like Riley Leonard fitting in real good. I think there's a lot of conversation on the board about Matt said he had a NFL type arm. People wondering what that means. What does that mean to you, Jamie?
It means he's got like the type of arm strength that the NFL is looking for, right? Like, he's got that kind of, like, he meets the minimum requirements that they're looking for in terms of arm talent. And then I think if you look at it, like, where, you know, where Notre Dame's, in terms of arm strength, you'd look at Ian Book and Sam Hartman. They don't have weak arms, but they don't have like bigger arms. Like they're not guys that you would be like arm talent doesn't, you know, isn't one of the top boxes checked for them, right? And with Leonard, he's got stronger arm. That's kind of that's basically what Matt was saying. It was just like he's got a stronger arm than these other guys.
Yeah, I mean, he can whip it, right? And that wasn't the problem. And I think people are a little too down on Riley Leonard in terms of being a thrower just because of the Duke stuff. Like, Duke's not running the type of offense that's going to showcase someone's arm, right? That's just not – they're not asking him to make a bunch of big time throws. Now, it doesn't mean he can make them. I just don't think that Duke is definitive in what the offense, their type of running. I don't think that's definitive and to let us know like what kind of quarterback or Riley Leonard can be. So there's that piece. I think Kenny Minchie sounds like he's doing well. It's very intriguing. And I said it in the last show, Jamie, I think Gino Gaudioli has a lot on his plate this spring in terms of getting guys reps and getting them healthy or getting them like up to speed on the offense. Right. And I think Steve Angeli has the experience, right? He's actually started a game. Kenny Minchie's got stuff and they got to know what it is and they got to figure it out and they got to find out. I don't know how and you mentioned it on Power Hour. There's no way CJ Carr's getting a ton of reps this spring. There's just not enough. There's just not enough time for him to do that. How do you think they manage? How do you think they manage this in terms of getting reps for Leonard, Angeli, and Minchie?
I mean, at first I kind of thought it was going to be similar to, you know, what they did last year with Buckner and, Hartman. Mm-hmm. But also I think about it, like one of the reasons why Buckner kept getting split reps with Hartman was because Hartman wasn't good and Buckner was better than him. So I think that is like the kind of thing where like Leonard will probably, I mean, he's going to get he'll get his share. He'll get his share. Like he's going to get plenty. But it'll probably, you know, I'm going to guess that Angeli will get, I mean, he'll get plenty, but maybe not as much as Leonard because they're going to give some of that to Minchie. Where last year, Angeli didn't really get any of it.
Yeah.
He kind of like, it was like Angeli and Minchie did get it, barely anything. Like I said, I'm talking about team reps, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And like 7-on-7 main, like they're going to throw the ball a ton, you know, in the other stuff, but they're just not going to get the reps with the team in terms of like working with the first and second team that often, right? So I think that's the kind of way to kind of look at it is that, you know, Minchie has kind of got to do enough and sounds like he's done enough to maybe, you know, earn more of a look. And because of that, Carr's going to, you know, unless they really like think like CJ Carr's like really taken off, I just don't see him getting many reps and it'll probably be. And then as the spring goes along, it's just going to be like, well, how's Minchie doing? Like, is Minchie like, because if he's not doing that well, then his reps will go down and they'll kind of split it up. But like, let's be honest, like they took Leonard for Leonard to be the starter, right? Like that is, you know, the idea of taking Riley Leonard. So he's going to get the bulk of it.
Here's the thing. How do you get away from the running piece? You just can't. Like, there's no way. Like, you have a weapon like that at quarterback with all the things that it can open up for the offense. It's going to be him. Like, just he has something that none of them have. None of them have this, right? No one can run the ball like Riley Leonard can. And like I said, he's a good thrower, right? This isn't like Brandon Wimbush. It's not like that, you know. So he's a better thrower than that. And it opens up a lot. I think, you know, in terms of storylines, you know, some good stuff coming out about Chris Mitchell and Jaden Harrison. I mean, that's a big deal, especially Chris Mitchell. We talked about it a ton. If he's the 7-on-7 stuff, the 1-on-1 stuff, like when we talked to Christian on Thursday, what Chris Mitchell and Jaden Harrison are doing are just like a huge story to me. And there's buzz about Jaden Thomas as well. But the difference between Jaden Thomas is like, if we heard him doing stuff, that's great in terms of his development and what it could mean for the room, period, right? Chris Mitchell and Jaden Harrison, just like coming from a lower level, it's like if they're cooking guys in one-on-ones, which because that stuff, that doesn't need to be padded. You know what I mean? Like some things where it's like, they're not in pads, it doesn't matter. Like the O-line stuff may not matter. It doesn't matter if you're padded or not in one-on-ones. If you're doing guys,
yeah,
doing
first day of one-on-ones when there's no, I mean, they're not going to be wearing pads Thursday, right, just so everyone knows. But if they're doing one-on-ones, you know, wide receiver DB one-on-ones, and, you know, Chris Mitchell runs by, you know, one of the corners. I mean, I was going to say Ben Morrison, but I'm like, you could be pick any corner that they have, really. And he's just like blowing by him on a rep. Like, that is noteworthy, right? It means something.
I think another storyline that'll be a big one is, how does the O-line line up, right? Because I think they kind of know where they want guys to be, and especially like in the winter stuff, like they want people to start off where they're gonna kind of, they think they're gonna finish up. How do you think the O-line starts off on Thursday?
Well, I mean, I think yes and no. They kind of want guys to start off where they finish off, because I think if you look at it, say like last year, that was one thing that I actually kind of liked about Rudolph. It was like, I mean, part of it, you can see why he tried so many different guys at guard.
Yeah.
But like, they were moving guys all around because they were like, we're trying to find the best combination, right? We're just trying to find the best guy. So it was like, well, Shrouth is working at left guard, and then he's going to work at right guard. And then I was like, well, this, you know, on this scrimmage, Emil Wagner was the starting left guard. And then in this one, all of a sudden, Pat Coogan came out of nowhere, and all of a sudden, he was the starting left. Like, so I think, you know, they might tinker around with it. And that's fine, because I think they still kind of got to figure it all out. So if Pat Coogan comes out as like the one center to start, wouldn't be shocking or whatever, but just like, Or if he doesn't, it's like Craig is, and then they're like, okay, well, now we want to move here, and then Craig moves to guard or something because Coogan, you know, they didn't like Coogan at guard, right? Like that. I mean, I could easily see that. My guess is that they'll come out exactly as they came out in the bowl game. Although it does sound like Rocco Spindler is going to practice some, so I don't know if how ready he's going to be at the beginning, but it sounds like he's going to be like available this spring. So that's something there. But my guess is that it'll be like exactly how they had it in the bowl game to start, where with Joggy Saw at left tackle, and then Coogan at left guard, Craig center, Shrouth at right guard, and then Baker at right tackle. But like, I think it is wide open. Like, and I, you know, it's something Mike and I talked about too, right? Like, I don't know that Sam Pendleton might not be a starting guard by the end of spring. Like, that could happen. Like, Wagner easily could be a starting tackle. Like, there's all these other possibilities. I really don't know what to expect from like Sullivan Absher. Like, because he was someone that came in and was like, man, this guy is, he's huge, but he came from a system where it was like, this guy's just all going forward the whole time. He was completely raw in pass pro. So how's he going to be? But I mean, that was kind of where Mike McGlinchey was. And then all of a sudden it just like creeped up into something more. So I don't know. I think we're going to see like where it's at. I think they'll just come out with that original lineup. And my guess is by the end of spring, so, you know, I'll be there later in the spring for like the back half of most of spring ball. I'm going to guess it's going to look like different during that time. Like, they're going to kind of be messing around with it.
Tyler Borgman is asking, is the entire practice open on Thursday or just the first five periods? I think it's
open. I believe that it's open.
I believe so.
To the media. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The reason I think that they might be a little bit
to more the media, set, not to the don't show up. If
you're Yeah. To the media. It's not. Yeah. That's not how it works. Like I couldn't just show up. I don't have a credential. I didn't ask for one. The reason I think it might be a little bit more set this year is because Rudolph's been around. Like last year was his first year. He hadn't coached these guys. So it's just that's why I think it might be more set. But that's a good point about just like the guard situation. I do wonder like Shrouth, right? Like I'm trying to decide. Like I think Shrouth's going to get a spot. In my opinion, he's going to start.
I would be shocked if he doesn't start this year.
Right. So like, I wonder if it matters if they put him on the left, like does he have a preferred side? If they put him on the left, does that mean Coogan and Spindler are on the, you know, jockeying for the right side? You know, what that means for someone else like Pendleton, like you said. So that'll be fascinating to watch. And then the Emil Wagner thing. I just think you kind of have to want him to get it just from you know what you have in Taj Baker. You know what it is, right? You know, whatever ceiling you might think he had or has or whatever, you're probably not getting that, right? You're probably not getting that, like he's all of a sudden going to be like an NFL type tackle, right? But Emil Wagner might be that guy. If he could just put on the weight, like I feel like if let me ask you this, if you knew Emil Wagner was 310, would you have any question that he was going to start at tackle?
I mean, I have some question because I still think there's some stuff. It's not like the only thing that I see from him is like, man, this guy is just like, he can't hold up at the point of attack. If anything, he's actually pretty good at the point of attack, really.
Yeah.
Like he can move people in the run game, or like he can't anchor. It's like, well, some big dudes can't anchor, right? Like, it's just – so, I don't know. I think it's more than that. So, that's why, too, like, I don't know to say that he's, like – he could be 295 and be like, this guy's ready to roll. Like, he is going to be awesome this year, right? So, he doesn't have to be, like, the mythical, like, 300 or it's, like, under 300. No, right? Like, I don't believe in that all the way. Like, eventually, he's going to have to get, you know – to that mark, but like, I mean, like Hainsey was like not 300 early on, right?
Yeah.
Like, and it was like, he was fine, you know, like it's just, that's just, it doesn't have to be that. But if he was 310 and he still looked like he does where you're like, oh, this guy doesn't, cause he doesn't have like a big gut or anything like that. He looks like he's got a good body for an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
If he's 310, I mean, that would mean that I would just only feel confident because I'm like, he put in the work.
Yeah.
He put in the work. And that means that like, and everything I've heard about him is like, this guy is already, he's serious about it. So that is always why too. I'm like, I think this guy's still going to be good because when someone is like, you're making the effort to really, you're like, I want to do this because I want to play. I want to, like, that matters. That matters because there's just a bunch of guys who are just like, I mean, who don't do it. And then they never play.
Yeah. Tyler Borgman asks, do we know how many open practices or viewing sessions you guys get for the spring for the media only?
We're not allowed to say.
We're not allowed to say. And honestly, like, whatever the number is, I'll bet you it changes. Like Marcus Freeman, one thing about Marcus Freeman I think has been true of every year, the media always gets a surprise open practice. Like every year I think that's happened where they show up and it's like, oh, you're going to get five periods. It's actually just stay the whole time, you know? And he likes to do that. There's probably some strategy along with that. Sounds like Jamie knows. I don't even know. I didn't even ask because it doesn't really matter.
It's around the same. It's so that, you know, they gave quite a bit in the fall camp.
Yeah.
It's around the same as that.
But the fall camp one was, the fall camp was, there were a couple surprises. There was a surprise one.
I'll say you're going to get plenty of coverage is what I'll say. You'll get plenty of coverage. We're going to be there a lot. So there'll be plenty of updates. And the other thing is too, is that, which I totally appreciate with Marcus Freeman, is that they'll do stuff within the first five periods where, I mean, a lot of BK stuff was like stretching, they're doing this, they do the, they do the pursuit drill on defense and all right, guys, you got to get up. Like, it's just, that's what it was. Yeah. And there might be a couple days like that, but there's other days where they're like, let's fire it up. Right. Let's
goal line one-on-ones. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Like goal line one-on-ones. Yeah. That's been a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what's good. And it like keeps everyone on their toes. So to me, it's like not about the schedule because you just don't know what they're gonna give us. Do you guys feel that Freeman is more secretive, in quotes? So not kind of secretive, kind of tongue in cheek, but also more easy to work with than Kelly, especially late. I feel like Brian Kelly at the end of his tenure was like, I have open practices. Like he was pretty open at the end of his tenure.
I would say after the kind of like 2016, because so I started working for ISD in 2015.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's when I was first going to camp and all that kind of stuff. And it wasn't like they gave us some stuff then at 2015 and 2016, but like, but after 2016, it was pretty open. Like they gave us quite a bit. Like it was like people would complain about like only three open practices. And it was like only three full practices. It was like, I mean, you also have to understand some people don't even get the warmups that we get at some. So that's at some schools, they don't even get that. Right. So, you know, they're just relying on like intel from what they hear from people. Right. So I just, Brian Kelly was pretty good actually with the media, with that kind of stuff. I don't think, and I think because of that too, like people were pretty understanding with like kind of following the rules of being like, you know, don't report injuries before we're able to, to clear it with us and stuff. And like, if you see somebody, you know, coming in with a boot or something, don't say anything. I mean, obviously there was somebody who was breaking those rules that we don't need to talk about, but they're pretty understanding with it. I think they're pretty good overall. And the one thing too, with the one thing though, that I think with the big change with Marcus Freeman is they give away more access to the assistants. And I think that is great. That's awesome.
Assistants, players.
Players, yes.
That's a big part of it. I think another piece that BK was really good. Well, I don't know if I can attribute it to him. I assume we can just because it's very much been curtailed during Freeman's era. But like the videos that came out from practice, I mean, you got a lot of good stuff in the videos, right? Now look, some of it was a little, I don't want to say misleading, but like it didn't tell the story, I guess, is a way to put it, right? They definitely control what came out, but you did get some stuff, right? Like you did see a lot of things, like the Jack Cohn year especially. They showed a ton of stuff from spring and fall camp and things of that nature. So, but like you said, I think there's a give and take there. Like I think Freeman is a little bit like he'll give you an extra practice when you don't think you're getting one. You get a ton of access to assistants. You get a ton of access to players. So that's good as well. So, you know, it is what it is. Vision Poet says, is there a strategy for wanting to keep the media to keep quiet about the practice schedule, or is it just to keep crazy fans from popping up?
I don't know. I don't really know. I don't know why. Maybe it keeps crazy fans, but there's also just nutso people that'll just like randomly like, hey, is there practice? Like they're just, I mean, there are people who just kind of hang around like that. I mean, that all of a sudden think that they can walk in, but I mean, there's not many, it's not very often,
right?
But yeah, it's maybe it's that, I don't know. I'm not really sure why they do it like that, but they asked to not share it, so we don't share it.
You don't share it. That's pretty much what it is. All right, a couple other tidbits. Linebackers. Some Jalen Snead buzz, Jamie. It's going around, you know. And look, it's a we'll see type thing, right? You don't want to get too excited, but it would be good, right? And I think a lot of people are starting to make the connection, right? In his third season, JOK, light kind of came on a little bit, and he became a full time player. Could that be a case for Jalen Snead as well? We'll see. Would be a great development, right? Hearing a lot of good things about KVA, right? Hearing a lot of good things about Drake Bowen, who we thought. So the room is kind of turning over. It's a new guard there. I just feel like if you told me, you know, Jalen, KVA, Drake Bowen, Jane Osbury, if he can get in that, like, if you told me those guys were like heavily in the mix at linebacker, I mean, it just kind of changes like the athleticism of the, not the athleticism of the thing, but just like, just the talent there, right? Like highly rated guys who came in with big pedigree. It could mean a lot for the defense as a whole. What do you think about that?
Oh yeah. It would mean a ton. I'm excited about the linebackers. This camp. I you know what? Like, I'm excited about Jack Kaiser. And I know like people are talking about him. It's not like sexy to talk about like the sixth year player to come back and maybe like make a jump, you know, because everyone's waiting for like Drake Bowen or Snead or KVA or, you know, Osbury, whatever. They're talking about that kind of stuff. But
right.
I really think that, you know, and Max Bulla, you know, mentioned that he kind of, you know, Kaiser really kind of got better, and then he like just that stuff like keeping his feet and just like playing more under control. And I went and I watched some late season Kaiser stuff just to kind of just like get an idea of that. And I really do think like some of the stuff that I was kind of like had issues with him before, of terms of like him maybe like not being like the fastest trigger on some stuff, like kind of like you know, working through the trash inside. Like, I don't think he was comfortable with it, and he kind of became more comfortable with it and like started to kind of play under control more. And then you could just see stuff with him as like, he's always been a pretty good blitzer, but just some of that kind of stuff, just like being a little bit cleaner with it. And I think he's going to have a really good year. I think he's going to have a really good year. I actually like watch some clinic stuff. There was like a first, I think it was called First and Goal Clinic. Can't remember what the name of it was, but, I watched like a Max Bulla talk, you know, on this clinic just from this weekend. Mm-hmm. And man, he's really good. He's really good. And you could see a lot of the reasons why you're like, man, JD Bertrand was like, I mean, obviously he was at his best last year. Like, he really, really like took a jump, and you could see a lot of the practical stuff that they were working on that made him take that jump. And I just think Kaiser's going to take another jump. And I think he's going to be good this year. I mean, I don't know if like how much of the PFF grade, which is he was like one of the highest graded linebackers in the country, like how much that's going to be, if he's going to be like, I'd maybe slow it down on that. But if he was like, say, this year's Riley Mills, where you're like, oh man, he really took a jump and like became like a guy where, you know, he couldn't have gone to the NFL this year because he wouldn't have been drafted, but he might be an NFL player next year. Like, I think that could happen. I think that could really happen for him. So I'm excited. I'm excited to watch him this spring.
His per snap production is insane. Yes. It always has been, right? And that's where the PFF grade comes from, right? Like he, some of this was, you know, I guess bad on Maris, but like in 2022, he had more tackles than Maris did in half the snaps, right? So
yeah,
he's always been that guy, but then he's never been a full-time guy, right? So if we'll see how that kind of how that kind of manifests itself in the space, right? In terms of just, and like there's a leadership component too. That's very important. I do wonder what, like you say, he's going to have a good year. Like, I wonder, what does that mean, right? Like, I wonder how that manifests itself to actual numbers. But I think in season, you don't need numbers per se. Like, you can just kind of feel it, right? Like a guy who's having a really good year.
He's a guy who's always going to put up numbers when he plays, right? Yeah. Like, he's just a guy. He's just productive. I just think you're just going to see less of the stuff. I mean, I think a lot of people, if you're just like box score looking at it, there's a bunch of people who are like, Kizer should have been playing this whole time, right?
Yeah.
But if you watch some of the stuff, you'd be like, well, this is why he wasn't. You know, there are reasons for it, right? And now I think you're going to watch him, and the people who kind of have a better understanding of defense and linebacker play are going to be like, you don't see those deficiencies as much, right? Like, where he's really comfortable being an inside linebacker, and like, he's always been a great athlete.
Yeah. So you want to minimize deficiencies and then highlight your positives, right? So, you know, you get a new role in the middle, like you said, maybe they're able to do that. And you always want to maximize your positives, Jamie, and kind of highlight the good things that you can do. And if you have a website or a social media page that you feel like is really good, but you're not doing enough to bump it up, you got to get some help. And we can help you if you go to vsrmediacompany.com, which is founded by Notre Dame football pregame host and Emmy Award-winning anchor Vahid Saadrizadeh. VSR Media provides professional and cinematic video and photo. Whether looking for collegiate or pro-level highlight reel, have a personal story to tell, or are aiming to diversify and grow your business. Just like I said, VSR Media specializes in short and long-form video storytelling, social media management, and website design. VSR Media also captures professional headshots, senior and sports photos. Contact them at vsrmediacompany.com. Mention Irish Sports Daily to receive 20% off your first project. Visit them online or give them a call at 574-800-9106. Rayshon. Rayshon, I was wondering. I was like, Rayshon's not here. He's not going to hear my transition. And then he pops in right at the good time. That's my guy, Rayshon, every time. He always makes it happen. Adon Shuler. Getting some love in the pregame, or not the pregame, in a little bit of a preview of the spring here, Jamie. He's going to get a ton of reps. And I think, look, Rod Hurd, he's not on campus yet. I think we both feel like he's going to be kind of the guy next to Xavier Watts. But Rod Hurd is also an experienced player. Now, look, you would love to get him reps in a new defense, right? So if he was on campus, he'd be getting a ton of run. And Xavier Watts doesn't need as many reps because he's been in the defense. But at the same time, like Adon Shuler does, he does need those reps. Notre Dame likes to run three safeties out there. It's something they'd like to do in their dime package. They've got three safeties out there a lot. And so I think this is going to really help. This spring is going to be huge for Adon Shuler. He's going to be out there. He's going to get, I think he's going to get a lot of first team reps, right? Next to Xavier Watts. It's going to really help him. I love his body. I love his physical makeup. He's always had a physical. I think it's just for him. It's just knowing where he's got to be and learning the defense, Jamie. What could, you know, this kind of transition for him mean for him? Like, what can he bring to the defense that maybe they lacked last year in the back?
Well, I mean, I think he's, like you said, just his size and his kind of like physicality there, like, obviously X Watts brings that, but I wouldn't say that's like something that, you know, DJ Brown or Ramon Henderson, you're not really getting that same type of like downhill physicality that you could get from a Shuler. So that's part of it. I think a lot of stuff too, is you with safeties, especially young safeties, is, over aggression can kill you. Right. Like it can really hurt you. And that's something that you want to see him be smart and not make those kind of mistakes. But you want to see him. I want to see him in coverage, though, and, and that's kind of where I want to know he can kind of make that that jump. And really, like, to me, that's kind of going to kind of determine, you know, how good he can be and where he can be. Because, I mean, look at X Watts. Was that was the thing with X Watts, was like he was a downhill guy and he was like, man, look at this guy make plays in the perimeter. He just has this feel for it. But you're like, he just looks kind of lost in coverage.
Yeah.
And to be fair, he was converting to safety and and all this thing. There was a, you know, there was a lot of things there that he had to learn, but then you just saw it, what a difference it made in his development after that. So you'd hope that he could be a guy that I think, you know, could follow that same Xavier Watts path, and obviously maybe do it a little bit quicker because he's, you know, came in as a safety and he's been, this is his second spring too. Right. So, and I know he missed a little bit of last one too, but that's something I think I'm excited about. I'm excited about the other young safeties too, because I think they're going to need them. They're going to need them. Just first of all, Notre Dame is one injury away from not being able to play three safeties, you know, if they don't feel comfortable enough with some of these other guys. So you have to feel comfortable enough with like the Minich and the Talich's and that. And you also have to like, you have to know where you're at for 2025 and going into it and be like, you're going to come out of this spring and kind of have an idea of like, okay, we need to see this in the fall or else we got to be looking at safety hard in the portal. Right. Mm-hmm. So, because you need guys to be ready. And that would be like one of the biggest like unknowns going into 2025 is the safety position. So, I mean, it's a huge spring for the safety position and those young guys. And I think there's a lot of talent there, a lot of athletic talent there, but you want to see them progress. And I mean, it's going to be really interesting. It's going to be really interesting. And I think Shuler has a chance to be like a great one for Notre Dame.
I think it's the whole secondary too. Like it's good because you know you're it's good because they know they're dealing with talent, right? So you have talented players, but like where's Christian Gray playing? Where's Jaden Mickey playing? You know, where's Clarence Lewis playing, right? Like someone asked on the board about Micah Bell. Where's he at, right? Like what's his situation, you know? Like what's he got going on? Like I think that's going to be interesting. Like I think it's a pretty big spring for someone like Micah Bell, cuz it's like they're going to continue to turn over, you know, the DB room, right? They're just going to bring in players year after year. Like, where do you fit? You know, like, do you feel like you fit in with, like, you're going to get playing time, right? Do they need to bring in another Jordan Clark type player? By the way, big spring for Jordan Clark, right? Like, is he ready to go from Arizona State, which is a bad defense, to Notre Dame, which is a very good defense, right? Like, Notre Dame wants to be a top 10 defense in the country. Rajon says Luke Talich, right? Like he's someone to monitor. I know he had an injury, right? So I think he'll be okay, but he's like coming off of that. So that's going to be something to monitor. But like Jordan Clark, are you going to be the nickel, right? Thomas Harper came in. I don't know. Was Harper there in the spring? I feel like
he was in the spring, but he couldn't participate because
he hurt his shoulder.
Yeah.
Right. So he didn't really participate in the spring. So it'll be interesting to see kind of where Jordan Clark is with that. Because, you know, there's a lot of pressure there, right? And there's a lot of pressure on Micah Bell. So that'll be interesting. Clarence Lewis, how do you think they manage Clarence Lewis? Like, where do you think they're going to put him? They're going to just have him all over the place?
I really don't know. Because last year, like, you know, because of Harper being out, he kind of got the most looks at nickel.
Yeah.
And you know that he can play there and he can help you there. And you know he can play field corner, right? Like, he can play field corner.
You know he can kind of play anywhere. So that's good.
So, I mean, I personally would just, and whatever. I feel like we've said this a million times. I would just move him to safety and just see. Cause I would just experiment with him this spring. And if it doesn't work out, you always know that he can go back. Cause that's what I would pitch it to him and say, like, listen, like, you're right now, you're not going to play nickel or corner in the league, probably. Right. So, but maybe you can play safety. So this is your chance. You're not right now. I would say he's not going to be a starter. He's more of like utility guy. Mm. And so it's like, well, maybe this is your chance to be like a starter if you go to safety. And I think that, you know, could be a good move for him, right? Like it's, and it might not work, but that's why you just, that's what spring ball's for, to do that, yeah, to see if he can do it. So, especially because they have Clark on campus. Cause if they didn't have Clark, then you'd say, okay, well, we don't want to just like say Micah Bell, you're the nickel all spring. It's like, well, you want him to earn it a little bit, whatever. Sure. You have Clark there and then you have Bell there to push him. So, and you know that Lewis can play there. So why not just give him a shot at safety and kind of see where that goes?
And I think the other big kind of like one of the biggest storylines is pass rush. Boubacar Traore, right? Why can't I think of his name right now? This happens way too often.
RJ Oben?
No, not RJ Oben. Burnham. Right. Josh Burnham. God, it's like a name just completely escapes my mind. It's like I freaking cover this team. Anyway, it's like Josh Burnham. Like to me, like RJ Oben, I don't want to say he's like a known, right? But he's like played so much. Like Traore, like he's a guy where it's like, hey, are you like for real for real? Like, is this going to be a thing? Josh Burnham is kind of at that point where it's like, hey, this is your third spring now, right? Like we got to see some stuff. It's got to be like a thing where it's like you're going to be an actual player. So it's
I think for all those guys in that 2022 yeah. class, this is a huge. Yeah. So it's like, you know, when you're talking about Snead, it's like this is it, and it's not whatever. It's not to say it's now or never, but it's getting close. It's getting close.
It's just so time.
I just thought like Burnham made a nice step,
yeah,
last year. But he's got to take another step. And if he doesn't, he gets passed. That's just how it is, right? So it's just like Tui Halamaka. It's like, man, it's like, it could be over, man, if you don't get to this. Like, that's how quicking it can happen. Because, you know, like you said, Traore's coming. And then Gobert is not going to be there and ready to practice in the spring. But it's like, where is he going to be at? Like, Tyson Ford is absolutely a now or never because he just hasn't seen – because you haven't even seen enough of him. He wasn't even close to getting in the rotation, you know, so
– he's got to have like that spring we saw from
– Jason Agnew last
year. Agnew, right, exactly.
That's the same thing. And that was the thing where Agnew, it was absolutely like a now or never. And you're like, oh, he really took it seriously, got into phenomenal shape, was whatever, and took a step. And now, but even now with Agnew, you're like, okay, because, you know, we talked about like how Tosh Baker, he's just so huge. It's just like, this guy should be in the NFL. If it's, yeah, he's not, there's something wrong. But you look at Jason Agnew and you look at all these freaks that are at the, you know, the NFL combine and all their measurables. And it's like, Jason Agnew is absolutely a guy who would light it up at the combine in terms of like, just like, 35 inch or whatever the heck he's got. Like, he's long, he's ripped, like he's quick, you know, he's got all this stuff. So it's like, okay, well now it's got to show up on the field. And it's kind of like how Mills, right, where it was like, that was kind of Mills' thing, and then finally he took a step. So it's like, that's got to be another thing there. But I really like you know, Donovan Heinisch too, who he's undersized and he's probably always going to be undersized, but it's like, well, if you don't, well, Devin Houston's going to take your spot, or, you know, or Mukum's going to take your, like, it's just, that's just how it's going to be. Because then all of a sudden, I don't think Sean Seviano is like a guy that I expect to really make a ton of noise, this spring, but because I think he's got, I think he's, I mean, he's 340. I think he's too big. But I mean, there's going to be a point in time where he's not that. And where is he going to be? Is he's going to, like, they're just recruiting at a point now where it's like guys are going to jump up and develop and take the next steps, or they're not and get passed. And that's just really what it is. So I expect a lot of like these young D linemen to really kind of show out. And it's a really big spring for Josh Burnham. And I do think he is going to be good. Like, I think Burnham is going to take that step. I feel pretty confident. Out of all those guys, out of the 2022 guys, the 2022 class guys, that like the D linemen, I probably feel the best about him taking that step and like being like, oh, like this guy, he probably won't be a starter just because of where they're at, but you know, he might be just, you got to be the starting caliber. And that's kind of where you got to be. And that's another thing too, with like Jordan Botello, got to get your groove back, man. It's got to be like that kind of thing. Cause if it's not, I mean, all of a sudden you're looking at all of a sudden where Jordan Botello might be like, man, I got to play somewhere else in the fall. If that's like, you have to, those are all good things. That's the sign of a healthy program, because you're getting guys that are talented that have played a lot. And if they're not, that's where Jay Hayes, I mean, when Jay Hayes, like all of a sudden it was like a little, you know, a week into spring ball in 2018. And they're like, man, Jay Hayes is transferring. Like what? Like he started last year. I was like, what's going on? What's going on was Khalid Kareem was just like, I'm better than you, dude. Yeah. And it just happened. And that's a sign of a good program if something like that is happening. And you're not rooting for anyone to transfer or leave or whatever, but you're rooting for everyone to kind of step forward, because if you don't, there's somebody else ready to take your spot.
Yeah. And so, but you got to be aware of the fact that, like, if these DNs, if they start making noise, right, that comes at the expense of someone, and that's going to be the tackle. So it's just you got to balance that, right, in terms of how we take all this stuff in, grain of salt and everything. So, all right, I think we can end it there. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to this channel. Please hit the like on this video. Please hit the notification bell soon, whenever it is. We are going live. We'll be back on Thursday after spring practice, the opening spring practice. Well, hopefully with Christian McCollum on, he's going to give us his insights live from South Bend. So it is Boubacar Traore. Yes, Adam Dowling, 51, is Boubacar Traore. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Have a good rest of your day. We'll talk to you Thursday. Keep hitting and hustling.